time change, longer days, warmer temperatures. The signs of a coming spring season are increasing weekly. This is the typical time of year when lambs are born to the flocks cared for by careful shepherds. Jesus warned us about not looking down on his little ones, his little lambs who are dear to his heart. Our care for our children must be a top priority for us as a church family. Our own children, grandchildren, and neighborhood kids need to hear of God's special love. Today's study reminds us of the priority of just one person. Individuals matter to God, and they should matter to us. Let's pray that 2020 will be a year when we see more of God's little ones become part of the caring congregation at Ajax Baptist Church. Blessings from the desk of Pastor Keith. The Ajax Baptist Church Sunday Morning Reload, March 15, 2020. On behalf of Pastor Keith Edwards and the entire family here at Ajax Baptist Church, we're delighted that you've joined us for this week's Sunday Morning Reload. The text is Matthew 18, verses 10 to 14, and Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 7. And the message is entitled, Who is Jesus? The Seeking Shepherd. Now, here's Pastor Keith.
Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. The same passage is also repeated in Luke's gospel, which we will look at in a few moments. Matthew chapter 18, beginning to read at verse 10. Jesus says, "See that you do not look down on one of these little ones, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost." Then if you turn over, please, to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, Luke records three different parables which Jesus told. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the parable of the lost son in this chapter. We want to focus our attention on the parable of the lost sheep. We'll begin to read at verse 1. Luke 15, verse 1. "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.' And Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." Let's turn to God in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who guided the authors of your word to pen these scriptures. Thank you that all scripture is God-breathed. And we pray for understanding of your word today. We pray that as I preach and as we hear it, reflect, and respond to it, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I want you to turn back, please, to Matthew chapter 18. And in this context, we'll begin back at verse 1 because the disciples, the 12 disciples that Jesus was training and preparing for leadership, came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" If you look through the Gospels, you will see on various occasions this theme reflected in their conversation. They somehow wanted to have power. They wanted to know where the hierarchy stood in God's plan. Was the kingdom of heaven like the kingdoms that they had seen on earth? And so they asked him this question, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus, seeing a little child nearby, calls this little child, had this little child stand among them, and he says to these men, these grown men who are standing around, "I tell you the truth, unless you change," that's the word for repent, "unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." What is Jesus saying? There is something about being childlike that God demands for those who want to be a part of the kingdom. Not childish, but childlike. These men thought that more power, more age, more maturity was what God was looking for, whereas Jesus uses this little child as an illustration of simplicity, as an illustration of trust, as an illustration of simple devotion to God. Now, as we come down to the passage that we want to focus on this morning, we are answering in our series of questions, who is Jesus? We saw him a few weeks ago as the suffering, dying, risen Savior. In Matthew 16 and 17 and 20, Jesus makes three different predictions of his death, burial, and resurrection. And of course, the responses were so different. The disciples couldn't get their heads around the response or the engagement of Jesus with the cross. Why was he going to have to die? And in Matthew 20, which of course is a couple of chapters ahead of our text, James and John come with their mother, and they want power, they want position. It's this same theme. Who is the greatest? How do we get to be greater? How do we increase our influence? How do we increase our responsibility? How do we rise in power for the occasion? And as Jesus encounters them and tries to correct this wrong perception, he uses a little child and he challenges them in verse 10, in the context of what we're looking at today, about the parable of the lost sheep. Who is Jesus? He is the seeking shepherd. He is the seeking shepherd. So he says to them, "See that you do not look down on one of these little ones." How easy it is to despise little children, to brush them off, to think of their opinion, their ideas, their insights as insignificant. Perhaps you remember on Palm Sunday, the occasion when Jesus had come into the city on the back of the donkey, and the crowds had said, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." The little children got all excited as part of that procession and began to run through the temple crying out, "Hosanna, Hosanna." You can imagine the excitement, the energy that they had as little kids. And you recall the religious leaders saying to Jesus, "Do you hear what these little children are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? Don't you know the book of Psalms that out of the mouths of infants, out of the mouths of nursing children, little tiny children, God has ordained praise?" Sometimes and often, little children get it right. There's a simplicity to their faith. There's a simplicity to their trust in God. And so as we come to Matthew 18, verse 10, Jesus is challenging these disciples, these leaders, these church officials, the ones who had formed the foundation for the church. He challenges them not to look down on even one of these little ones. Don't despise children. Prioritize children. And we need to do that in terms of engaging with our community. We need to value each individual child. And then Jesus says, "For I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." This sort of suggests even the idea of a guardian angel, doesn't it? that the angels, those who are sent, those who are ministering spirits, those who are sent to inherit or to minister to those who will inherit salvation, have access to God. And God is aware, God can deploy any angel for any purpose for anyone. And the little ones, the angels charged with the care of little children, always see the face of God the Father. They always have access. They can bring the cause of even little children to the Father, and the Father, by His grace and in His compassion, can deploy, can send out those angels on missions of mercy to hear the cry of little children, to come alongside those who are such in such desperate need. To illustrate his point and to drive it home further, Jesus uses a very ordinary illustration. What do you think, he said, if a man owns 100 sheep? My dad was a sheep farmer for a period of time, and I guess he wanted to be biblical. He had 100 sheep, and we had the care of them. The sheep would always respond to him, and there were occasions, of course, we had to care for them in terms of their diseases. Their wool had to be clipped. There was a lambing season. We had to provide food. Sheep take a lot of care. But these 100 sheep in Jesus' story, this would have been a very typical size fold, a typical size flock, rather. And Jesus says this man owned 100, and one of them wandered away. Now, what makes sheep wander? Is it curiosity? You know, help me out. The grass always looks greener on the other side, doesn't it? On the other side of the farm, on the other side of the fence, on the other side of the stream. And sheep have this tendency to wander. They go astray. Isaiah 53 picks this up when the prophet says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We've wandered. We've wandered from God. We've wandered from him emotionally. We've wandered from him spiritually, physically, mentally. There's a distance that has separated ourselves from our shepherd. We've left the shepherd. We've left the safety of the flock." And perhaps even on your heart this morning, there are those who have wandered away, who at one time were close, perhaps even in your own family, perhaps close to God, and they have wandered away. Well, in this story, this one sheep wanders away. But the shepherd is not content with 99 out of 100. Now, that might be a great score on an exam. That might be a great grade on an assignment. But when it comes to the sheep, this shepherd loves every single one. And he owns 100. And one of them is missing. So what does he do? He leaves the 99 on the hills. Now, in those days, the sheep would be kept, the various flocks would be kept together in sheep cotes, in sort of a walled stone enclosure where several flocks would be kept together. And there would be different hired hands, different people, different shepherds would sort of pool their time, pool their resources to help care for the sheep. And then one by one, the shepherds would come to the gate or to the door and call their sheep by name. Remember again, Jesus used that illustration of being the shepherd when he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So the shepherd would come to the gateway, to the doorway of the sheepfold, and call his sheep, and one by one they would all come out. But on this occasion, he leaves the 99 in the hills. He leaves the 99 under someone else's care. They're safe. They're good. They're okay. And he goes to look for the one that wandered off. How much time did this take? What sacrifice? How do you find a lost sheep? Today's world, we have pets that have, you know, microchips in their ears, and you can, or on somewhere on their body, and they can be identified. If they go missing, someone can pick them up and take them into a veterinary clinic, and they can be identified who the proper owner was. But in Jesus' day, where would this sheep be? Had some wild animal torn it? Had some wolf or some bear claimed its life? Where was the sheep? Where would you begin? Well, the shepherd spared no expense, spared no time, no energy probably for hours and hours and hours, he would look and look and look for that lost sheep. He was determined, he was committed to find it. He goes to look for the one that wandered off. Oh, friends, hasn't that been our experience with God? Didn't God come looking for you? When you've wandered off, don't you find that Jesus as a good shepherd, Jesus as the great shepherd, Jesus as the chief shepherd, comes looking? He comes searching into your home. He comes searching into your heart. And he finds you. And he's not content. He's not satisfied until he brings you back, until you're restored, reunited, restored to where you should be, restored to a proper relationship with the shepherd and with other members of the flock. What a passion the shepherd has for the sheep. Jesus says, and if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. There is joy in seeking the lost. There is joy for the shepherd in finding what was lost. The joy spreads. He gathers. In Luke 15, it talks about him gathering his neighbors. If it were me and I was looking after sheep, and one of them was lost, and I found it, probably on the menu that night, I'd want roast lamb. I'd want roast sheep, roast mutton, whatever. But not the shepherd. Some other food will suffice. Some other protein will be on the menu. We have to gather the neighbors. We have to gather our families, gather our friends, and celebrate that the lost has been found. Oh, that passion would grip us as a church. That we would join in the mission of the Good Shepherd. That we would partner with this seeker of souls, the seeking shepherd. God has given some of us in this congregation a real heart for seeking others, for seeking out in Christ's name, for getting those who have been lost, those who have been wandered. We're burdened for them. We pray for them. Our hearts ache for them, and we're saying, come back. And we do what we can with God's help, with God's strength, by God's direction, we join the seeking Savior, the seeking shepherd. Oh, the shepherd is filled with joy. He is happier about that one sheep. He is filled with joy because this sheep has returned. In the same way, Jesus said, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. Don't you hear the passion of God, the compassion of God for individuals? Here's the reality. God owns us. God is the owner of all the sheep. We belong to God by creation. He is our creator. John chapter 1, it says, by him, referring to Christ, by him all things were made. So we belong to God by creation. But then we also belong to God by redemption. If we have been saved, if we have been rescued by the seeking shepherd, we are his property. And God cares for all the sheep. Hasn't been that your experience? Hasn't that been your experience through life? That God's care, God's mercy, God's compassion has tracked you, has provided, has protected you. As David said in Psalm 23:6, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. God's goodness, God's mercy, God's compassion has tracked us down. It is provided for us. We are his. We are cared for by him. And what a passion God has for wandering sheep. What a passion for those who have strayed.
for those who have strayed, for those who have allowed distance to come between themselves and the shepherd. Oh, in 2020, may we have the joy, the very joy of Christ, the very joy that the shepherd felt. May we share that joy as we, by God's grace, see many people restored. I wonder this morning who's on your heart. Who in your circle of influence is far from God? We want to join you in prayer. We want to join you in practical steps, reaching out, praying for them, holding on, believing God to do a great miracle to restore them. And may the seeking shepherd find them. He has his ways, doesn't he? He has his means. He can intercept a path. He can go after. He will find that wandering sheep, no matter where it's gone. He will persist. He will go after that sheep until it's safely back in the fold. Oh, I urge you this morning to give yourselves to prayer. Renew your commitment to join Christ in this great work. Let me offer prayer. Father in heaven, thank you that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. He's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd of the flock. Thank you for the example in these simple parables, these simple stories of the care of Christ for one lost person. We thank you for his rescue of our lives. Thank you, O God, that you came looking for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We pray that 2020 will be a year of finding, that we will have the joy in many families and collectively as a church family of seeing many people restored, many people brought back. We want to line our ministries. We want to line up our lives under the direction, under the care, under the supervision of the seeking shepherd. So equip us to do your good work. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us insight into this process and help us, we pray, for Jesus' sake, to follow in his steps. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed listening to Pastor Keith's message, but we'd like to invite you to join us at Ajax Baptist Church, 10 a.m. every Sunday morning, where you can not only hear Pastor Keith live in person, but you can also experience good community fellowship and join us in musical worship and praise. If you have questions about today's message or any other concerns, Pastor Keith would be delighted to hear from you directly. Just call the church at 905-683-4802. We look forward to seeing you soon. Your friends at Ajax Baptist Church. Thank you.